Parshas Pekudei. The beginning of this week's parsha, towards the beginning, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chof Beis. The Torah writes, Ubetzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemate Yehuda. Betzalel, who as we know was charged with constructing the Mishkan or leading the construction, also is kol asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. He did exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. So it sounds an innocuous looking pasuk. However, Rashi picks up on the words asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe, and he quotes the famous Gemara in Brochus Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, a difficult to understand Gemara. The Gemara points out that if you look at the last few parashiyos that we've been learning, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudei, if you look back, in the beginning of parashiyos Truma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially instructs them to build the Mishkan. That's instruction number one. Following which, we get an instruction with regard to the details of all the kelim. The menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, the kier, etc. So first comes the instruction of the mishkan, the general project as it were, and then all the furniture and the kelim in the mishkan. However, when Moshe Rabbeinu relays the instruction to Klal Yisrael, he switches the order. He first mentions the kelim, and only then mentions the mishkan. Bezalel, however, switched the order back. And he first constructed the Mishkan, and only then the Kelim, and Chazal say, and the Rashi quotes this, because he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't understand. What do you mean, instructing me to build the Kelim, and then the Bayis? If you wanted to build your house, what would you do? First buy the fridge, and the oven, and the beds, and then build a house around it? Where would you put the furniture in the meanwhile, said Bezalel to Moshe. So surely it makes far greater sense to first build the Mishkan, and then the Kelim. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, well done. Actually, you're 100% right, because that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially instructed me. Say Chazal, that's why he's called Bezalel. What does Bezalel mean? Bezalel, Kael, the shadow of God. In other words, when he says that the correct order should be first Mishkan and then Kelim, that indeed was the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had initially instructed Moshe. That's not what Moshe instructed Bezalel. Says Rashi, that's what our pasuk means. When it says that Bezalel did everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe, innocent looking pasuk, it actually has a lot of meaning. What it means is that Bezalel carried out the instruction not as he received from Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore he's considered the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Gemara in Brochus Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and I think we hardly need to spell out the question. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, build the Mishkan, and then the Kelim, why on earth did Moshe Rabbeinu switch the order? This is the question that troubles all the Mefarshim, the Pnei Yeshua. Then the Gemara in Brochus says, we have no idea, ma olo b'dayte, what was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? Shehofach, chas v'sholom divrei aleikim chayim. He switched the order. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Mishkan, and then Kelim. Moshe Rabbeinu relays the instruction. He says, no, Kelim, and then Mishkan. Why did he switch the order? Now, of course, the truth be told, whichever explanation you opt for, you obviously then really have to continue the theme and explain, well, if that's the case, why did Bezalel switch it back? Which is really the obvious follow-up question. But either way, for the moment, I'd like to discuss one possible approach, at least with regard to why did Moshe Rabbeinu switch the order, not Mishkan Kelim, but rather Kelim Mishkan. So in order to explain this, possibly we can suggest the following, which is really based on a recurring theme that we find in the writings of the Kliyoka. I found this in at least four places, and maybe there are other places as well. If anybody finds one, please let me know. The Kliyoka is troubled by the following question, which is also a famous question, a similar type question to that which we just asked, and in a lot of Meforashim deal with. We discussed last week at great length the subject of the mitzvah of Shabbos. We said Shabbos Kodesh as the bechina of the Beis Hamikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parashat Truma initially instructed the Klal Yisrael with which mitzvah? The mitzvah of construction of the Mishkan. Later on, Shabbos is mentioned. So what's the correct order? Mishkan, Shabbos. And yet when we get to Parashas Vayakel, last week's parasha, what's the first thing we find in the parasha when Moshe Rabbeinu addresses Klal Yisrael? Sheishes yomim teyasa malacha, on the seventh day shall be Shabbos. And what's the follow-up instruction? Mishkan. So once again, he's going to switch the order. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mishkan, Shabbos. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he instructs Klal Yisrael what to do, he says Shabbos and then Mishkan. Again, he switched the order. So the Kliyoka suggests the following very beautiful approach. He said Shabbos Kodesh, the theme of Shabbos Kodesh is of course commemorating, reliving the Briyas HaOlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So it's a celebration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world. It's all about being Mechaved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kavod Hashem is the essence of the day. That's what it's all about. What about the Mishkan? So this is the tricky thing that one can make a mistake in every single year. What's the obvious mistake that can easily be made when we learn these parashiyos? Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa V'Yakel Pekudei is actually not the order in which it happens. Because Chazal tell us that the Egel, Parshas Kisisa, actually happens first. Following which, they were told to construct the Mishkan. And Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded and begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Klal Yisrael for the sin of the golden calf, the Cheto Egel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following all of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, responds and says, I will forgive them. And as a sign that I will forgive them, I'm prepared to have my Shekhinah residing amongst them. They should go and build a Beis HaMikdash. Which means that the Mishkan is the symbol and the sign for us that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. Says the Kliyoka, there's the contrast. Shabbos is all about kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishkan is all about kavod for Klal Yisrael, because this is the sign that Klal Yisrael was forgiven. So whose kavod is more important? Hashem's kavod or Klal Yisrael's kavod? Says the Kliyoka, that's the answer to our question. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks his own kavod. And therefore, what does he mention first? First build the Mishkan. That's all about Klal Yisrael. Of secondary importance is my own kavod, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he relays the instruction to Klal Yisrael, what does he tell them? To the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod is more important to us. And therefore, what am I going to mention? I'm going to mention Shabbos first and Mishkan second. So according to the Kliyoka, therefore, the switch in order, Mishkan and Shabbos, is all about whose kavod takes precedence. In the view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael comes first. In the view of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes first. Where else do we find this theme? There is a famous Kliyoka in Parashas Matos. Well, if you look in the beginning of Parashas Matos, you will notice a very interesting, again, change in Lashon. Klal Yisrael are told, go and fight against Midian. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekoim Nikmat B'nei Yisrael. Seek a vengeance on the part of Klal Yisrael. In the very next pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Nakai Nikmas Hashem. That's not what Kadosh Baruch Hu said. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Nakai Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Nakai Nikmas Hashem. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this battle would be his last. How did he know that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him so. It says there, right in the Pasuk, go and fight against Midian, following which, V'achar te'osef el amech, or you'll have to die. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, even though he knew that his death was contingent on this milchama, he had no hesitation in relaying the instructions to Klal Yisrael. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu says Rashi did it b'simcha as well. He did it b'simcha. Says the Kliyaka, excuse me, where do you see in the pasuk he did it b'simcha? Where does it say in the Torah that maybe he did it with a very long face? Maybe he came to Klal Yisrael and says, listen, I'm very, very disappointed to tell you, but what should I do? I'm forced into it, kicking and wailing. You've got to fight against Midian, following which Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. How do you know he did it b'simcha? Says the Kliyaka is one word that gives it away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Nekoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. And he said, Nekoim Nikmas Hashem. What happened? What did Midian do? What was their sin? Was their sin against Klal Yisrael or against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is, both. On the one hand, they caused Klal Yisrael to commit terrible aveiros. That's a crime against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other, it was as a result of that that 24,000 members of Klal Yisrael died. So therefore, it caused a crime against Klal Yisrael. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Of the two, what's more important to me? Nakai Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. I'm prepared to overlook my own honor. Doesn't matter that Midian sinned against me. More important is what they did against Klal Yisrael, to seek the vengeance of Klal Yisrael. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu could easily have come to Klal Yisrael and told them the following. Listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nekoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, following which I have to die. And what would Klal Yisrael have responded then? Ah, so we'll be Michael. If you're telling me the whole Nekama is on the part of our Kavod, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. Okay, thank you, but no thank you. We can overlook our own Kavod. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He switches it. He says, Nekoi Nikmas Hashem. That's what's more important to us. Not our Kavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod. Klal Yisrael can't overlook that. They have no right to waive the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Kriyaka, will I therefore see that Moshe Rabbeinu did it b'simcha? Because if he really wanted to make sure that he stays alive, all he needed to do was simply relay the instruction as he received it from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Why did he go out of his way to make that slight but very important change? The answer is because he was determined and glad and happy to makayim the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, you see the same theme in the Kliyaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, concerned with the kavod of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, on the other, concerned with the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parashas Tetzaveh, this is now a third place where you find this theme, also in the writings of the Kliyaka. All the begodim of the Kohen are mentioned. Kohen Gadol. The Kliyaka once again picks up on the fact that, interestingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions the Choshen and then the Ephod. Look in the Psukim there, you will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs them to make the Choshen and then the Ephod. And guess what? When Moshe Rabbeinu relays the instruction, he first mentions Ephod and then Choshen. Once again, he switched it round. Why the switch? Says the Kliyaka. What are the Big Day Kahuna all about? The Gemara tells us in Erechim that all of the various begodim, their function was to be as a kapara for various aveiras on the parts of Klal Yisrael. Specifically, what about the Choshen? Which aveira specifically did the Choshen atone for? Says the Gemara, the Choshen Mishpat atoned for Mishpat. If ever there was a distortion of justice in the Beis Din, the Choshen was an atonement for that aveira. And what about the Ephod? The Ephod was an atonement for Avodah Zarah. As I state in the Gemara, the Choshen for Mishpat, for Dinim, the Ephod for Avodah Zarah. Says the Kliyaka, ah, wonderful. Dinim, if there's a distortion of justice, that is a crime against humanity. And if there's Avodah Zarah, that's a crime against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have the theme once again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, first make the Choshen. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention the Choshen first? Because that's the crime against Klal Yisrael. Then he mentions the Ephod Avodah Zarah, that's of secondary importance. And Moshe Rabbeinu flips it around. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. What's of prime importance to us is the Ephod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered, then we'll mention the Choshen. And the Kliyaka says in conclusion, see in Parshas Matos what I wrote there about Nekoyim Nikmas Hashem and Nekoyim Nikmas Dinei Yisrael. The fourth and final place that I found this is a pasuk in Parashat Bo. On Pesach we know that the blood was sprinkled on the door. Which part of the door specifically? On the mezuzos and the mashkef. Which is mentioned first? No prizes for guessing. The order is switched once again. If you look in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, put the dam on the two mezuzos and on the mashkef at the top. In Pasuk Chaf Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu reverses the order and he says, V'igatem el ha-mashkef and then V'el shtei ha-mezuzos. So which one is first, the mezuzos or the mashkef? Kodesh Baruch Hu mentioned the mezuzos first and Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned the mashkef first. So who picks up on that? Again, the Kliyaka. And the Kliyaka says, perhaps I can suggest that the two mezuzos at the side corresponds to Moshe and Aaron. And the mashkoif is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Kliyaka. Well, there's the answer. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention first? The Shtei Mezuzos, covered of Klal Yisrael, and only then the mashkoif. And Moshe Rabbeinu switches the order. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. The covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more important to us. Therefore he mentions the mashkoif and then the Shtei Mezuzos. So we've seen this theme now in four different places. With regard to Mishkan Shabbos Mishkan, Nekoyim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, or Nekoyim Nikmas Hashem, Choshen Ephod Choshen, and Mezuzos Mashkoif Mezuzos. In four different places, the Kliyaka has this recurring theme in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with the covet of Klal Yisrael, and we are concerned with the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's now come back to our original question. We asked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, build the Mishkan, and then the Kelim. And Moshe Rabbeinu switches it around. First the Kelim, and then the Mishkan. Until Bezalel eventually reversed the order back to what it was in the beginning. So we ask, what did Moshe Rabbeinu switch it for? According to the Kliyaka, maybe we have an explanation. Because the Kliyaka told us that what is the Mishkan all about? Covered for who? Covered for Klal Yisrael. Because that way Klal Yisrael are shown that they have a kapara. That's the Mishkan. But what about the Kelim in the Mishkan? What do you do with the Kelim in the Mishkan? Avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makriv Korbonos and Ketores. Therefore we can suggest that the same theme is true once again. Whereas the Mishkan and the Shekhinah residing there is an atonement for Klal Yisrael, but the Kelim is service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention first? First build the Mishkan. That's covered for Klal Yisrael. And then we'll get to the Kelim, which is the service to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? No. more important to us than our own kavod and our own atonement is avodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he mentioned the kelim first. More important, we should be makriv karbonos to Hashem, and we should lechem aponim for Hashem, we should have keteres reach nichoyach la Hashem. That's more important for us. Then we'll bother with the mishkan, which is the atonement for us.
At the end of the day, you need the house before you need the
cave. That's what I said. Whichever theme you suggest, you're going to have to answer Bezalel's very valid question, which is, but if you have the cave in first, where are you going to put them? In parenthesis, this is a discussion, some Sofer mentions it, at the end of the day, this is actually what happened. Because if you look at the dates in the history, it says that the Kalim were ready Hanukkah time, but yet the Mishkan was only completed Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So at the end of the day, the Kalim were left homeless. So that's a whole big discussion. Maybe next year, Pashas Pekudei will discuss that. But either way, interestingly enough, I found this theme, as I mentioned, in the Kliyoka on four places, and then all of a sudden, I bumped into it in the Ksav Sofer in a number of places as well. For example, in Parashat Chukas, we know, Perek Chaf Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to have a big stick, tall pole, and put what at the top of it? What's the Lashon on the Pasuk? Asei Locho Sorof. Sorof is a serpent. Next Pasuk it says, Vayas Moshe Nochosh. Nochosh is a snake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say make a snake, he said make a serpent. Says the Barat Sunura. The Barat Sunura has a sefer al Torah. It's called Amar Nekei, and the Kli and the Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer says exactly the same. And he says, if you look in the pasuk there, why did the snakes come in the first place? Why did they attack? So the Loshman, the pasuk there is by Dabir Ha'om Beloikim Ubamoshe. They complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on in the Midbar? There's no food, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about us. And what is Moshe Rabbeinu? He doesn't lead us properly. So again, whose kavod was slighted over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. What's a sorof? A sorof, the Mishnah in Ovis says, be careful when you talk about Gedolei Yisrael, you could be bitten by a sorof. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? That's what's important to me. The fact that I was complained against, that's not so important. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was complained against, make a sorof. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? He didn't make a sorof, he made a nochosh. What does the nochosh remind us of? The very first nochosh. Day one. History of civilization. The nochosh comes in Gan Eden, and he's the one who sinned against Hashem. Says the Ksav Sofer and the Barat Sunura, that's what's going on over here. The Sorof represents the complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's of paramount importance to me. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's not so important. More important is the Nochosh who complained against Hashem. So too, the Ksav Sofer, in yet another place, in Parashat Korach, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains to Klal Yisrael. After the whole episode with Korach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what's going to be? Elokei HaRuchos. Are you going to kill the entire nation because of one man's Avera? That was the big fear. That's what he says. Are you going to kill all of Klal Yisrael because of one man? Korach is the one who sinned. Let him die. Why should everybody die? Says the Ksav Sofer, I'll explain to you what's going on over here. Who did Korach sin against? Says the Psukim, simple level, against Moshe Rabbeinu. We challenged his leadership. Says the Medrash, he was also Kofa Be'ikah. He sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who denied his existence. There was again a double whammy Avera, a double chait. Now, what about Klal Yisrael's part? Are they guilty in any way? So Chazal say they went away guilty because they never protested against Korach's challenge of the leadership. So on the part of Klal Yisrael, which sin can they also be held accountable for? Not for Korach's heresy, but for Korach's public challenging of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. Why did that go unopposed? So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
I understand why you might want to kill Klal Yisrael. But for one man's Aveira, are you going to kill Klal Yisrael? What does he mean to say? I'm prepared to overlook my own honor. And the only thing of concern to me is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor? Korach was a one-man band. You can't say that all of Klal Yisrael were involved. So once again, this theme in the writings of the Ksav Sefer, and he repeats it in another place in Parshas Pinchas. Because what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Pinchas will be rewarded. Why? Because Kanoi es Kinosi. Kanoi es Kinosi. He sought my vengeance. What do you mean, my vengeance? Because Midian over here, like we said before, or Zimri specifically, Zimri not only committed an Aveira against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, but to perform an Aveira like that, Barabim, was a terrible slight in the kavod of Klal Yisrael. And yet that's not why Pinchas reacted. Pinchas said, never mind the kavod of Klal Yisrael. What's important to me is Kinas Hashem. The honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was slighted. That's what's of paramount importance to me. So this is a theme that we seem to be mentioning again and again and again. The Kriyakar in four places, the Ksav Sefer in another four places. As you were, some of you here was waving to me before, but you're quite right. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol wears tefillin. And what does it say on the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mika Amcha Yisrael. We wear tefillin shel roish, to remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol wears tefillin, Mika Amcha Yisrael. Mika Amcha Yisrael. Just in conclusion, perhaps, I was thinking to myself, the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in many places as being comparable to a marriage. Comparable to a marriage. We are described as the kala, as it were. Vayhi kechaloisei, it says in Parshas Kisisa. We are the kala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chosn. When we put on tefillin, indeed, every morning, what do we say? V'erastich li lo'ilam. What's erastim? We're betrothed. We kaviyochol married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the kesher shel ahava that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is well known that Rav Dessler writes and used to teach chassanim and kallahs and used to tell them the following. He used to tell them, it's 100% true. Every chassan has a responsibility to be mechabed and to look after his wife. And every wife has a responsibility to mechabed and look after her husband. But he used to say, oy vavoy, if under the chuppah, the chassan is busy thinking about how much the kala has to mechabed him. And the kala is thinking about how much the chassan has to mechabed her. That's not your department. Your department is the honor of your spouse. It says in Chazal. It's true. Of course it's true. You can't have a one-sided marriage. It takes two to tango, as they say. Of course, the husband has to mechabed the wife to the husband. But each one's responsibility is, what do I have to do? What's my responsibility to maintain and to develop and to strengthen this relationship? My responsibility is to my spouse. It happens to be that my spouse's responsibility is back towards me. That's none of my business. Ochen vei, said Rav Dessler. Oy vavoy, each one is thinking under the chuppah how much the other one is to mechabed me. As a moshel, this is really what we're learning tonight. If the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is indeed comparable to that of a marriage, then how beautiful it is, as the Kriyaka and the Ksav Sefer teaches, that each one is concerned for the other one's honor. Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with the kavod of Klal Yisrael, the Mishkan, the Chayshan, the Shabbos, etc., etc., etc. And meanwhile, Klal Yisrael say, our concern is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's kavod. That's our duty. That is really the ultimate of successful marriage. It can never be a one-sided kesher. If it is a unilateral kesher, then by definition that's not a marriage. If it's bilateral, if each party is considered, how can I maintain my responsibility? How can I express my ahava, my kavod to the other side of the equation, to my spouse, to my husband, to my wife? That's the recipe for success. As the Dessler said, if each one is thinking how much the other one is mechuyev to mechabed them, that's a recipe disaster. In the opinion of a Kliyok and a Ksav Sofer, that really is a moshul for the whole relationship that we have, Klal Yisrael, together with the Rebbeinu Shlomo.